Robertson, welcoming you to this week's edition of TV Confidential, radio talk show about television. That will welcome back Jerry Jewell in our second hour. Jerry Jewell, the actress known around the world as Cousin Jerry on The Facts of Life, and Jewell, the cleaning woman on Deadwood. Jerry has a new coffee table book called Jerry Jewels and Gems that discusses topics and issues about the human condition that are timeless and relatable to anyone looking for ways to navigate their way through everyday life. It also has a lot of photos from the many people who have blessed Jerry's life, including Norman Lear and Carol Burnett. Jerry Jewell will join us in our second hour. We hope you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll begin our first hour by paying tribute to the life and career of James Darren. James Darren, the actor whom most of us know best from his work in movies and television, including Moondoggy in the original 1959 movie adaptation of Gidget, plus starring roles on the classic TV series The Time Tunnel and T.J. Hooker. Star Trek fans, of course, know James Darren best as Vic Fontaine, the holographic lounge singer who appeared in many episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, a role that in many respects was a full circle experience for James Darren. James Darren had a successful recording career in the late 50s and early 1960s, including two Billboard Top 10 records, Goodbye Cruel World and Her Royal Majesty. While I understand that the audience reception to his appearances as Vic Fontaine on Deep Space Nine in the 1990s reignited James Darren's recording career. James Darren passed away Monday, September 2nd. At the age of 88, our friend Jim Rosen not only knew James Darren as an actor and as a friend, he interviewed him on at least two occasions, including for his book, Philly Pop Rock Rhythm and Blues, a look back at the musical history of Philadelphia. Jim is here with us today to share a few memories of his friend James Darren. Jim, it is a sad occasion to have you back, but it's always good to have you back to talk to our listening audience.
Well, thank you, Ed. It's nice to be back, and it's nice to talk about Jimmy and celebrate his life, you know.
You and Darren had a few things in common. You were both working actors, and you both grew up in South Philadelphia. When did you first come in contact with him?
I first came in contact with him when I was doing book signings for Philly Pop Rock Rhythm and Blues, and he came here to do some concerts, and I believe I was doing a book signing at that concert, and that's how we first met. And then, of course, when I did the book, I contacted him, and he was very willing to contribute and revisit the glory days. And then we kept in touch for, you know, 4 or 5 years, whenever he would come here and do an event. If he was doing a concert, and or sometimes I'd just pick up the phone and call him, and that's pretty much the way it went. And when I came out with my memoirs, he sent him a copy of the book, and he read it, and he liked it, and he insisted that I get a quote from him and put it on the back cover, which I did. Which I was very happy to do.
Well,
he was a good guy.
Well, people from South Philadelphia stick together.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. People ask, you know, would ask me what was it about South Philly that gave rise to so many performers, and I would say the same thing he did. I can't say exactly. I know he would say that South Philly was very unique in the sense that everyone not only knew each other, but looked out for each other and helped one another. And it was an extremely tight-knit community. And if you were an actor, artist, or musician, and you became successful, it inspired others in the neighborhood. And you always got strong support from your family, your friends, your neighbors. And I know when his first film debuted, the local Chevrolet dealership, where his uncles worked, sponsored a parade for him. They took cars out of the showroom and off the lot, and they paraded down his block as well as up and down adjacent streets. It was that kind of place, you know.
Well, and the fact that, as you just illustrated, once he realized that you and he had South Philadelphia in your blood, that made him or that made you, in his eyes, if I dare say, an extended member of family, because you had the same growing up experiences and you both had that innate sense of community, that unique innate sense of community the South Philadelphians have for each other.
Yeah, I believe so. I think you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely.
Jim Rosen's with us to share a few memories of his friend James Darren. Jim knew James Darren as a result of his book, Philly Pop Rock, Rhythm and Blues, a look back at the musical history of Philadelphia. And Jim remained in touch with Darren for several years over the past decade. James Darren passed away Monday, September 2nd at the age of 88. Darren grew up in a section of South Philadelphia, not far from where Frankie Avalon, where Fabian, where Eddie Fisher, where Al Martino lived or grew up, so it certainly had musical lineage in it.
Oh, absolutely. Bobby Rydell, Mario Lanza. I mean, it's amazing. Buddy Greco. The list goes on and on, you know.
He was a very modest man, at least the sense I got just reading, you know, reading about him and reading some of his quotes in both not only your book but in other sources as well. Even though music was in his blood, even though music was in the neighborhood, was part of the neighborhood that he grew up in, and even though he performed in many local spots in Philadelphia before he left for California to become a film star, he never considered himself a singer per se. He always considered himself an actor.
Yeah, I guess so. It's interesting, you know, he began his career, he came from a musical family and he began his career singing, but at age 18, he really wanted to become an actor. And what he did was he went out to California and he was there for a while, but he was very young. I think he went out when he was 17 or even 16. And he and John Saxon had a were friends and they roomed together. And he would pal around with John, and Saxon was a friend of James Dean, so he got to know James Dean as well. And they all had a good time, the three of them, but, you know, he ran out of money, and he had to come back home. You know, he was really still too young and couldn't afford to remain there. But when he returned to Philly a year or two later, he really wanted to become an actor. And he inquired about the best teachers in New York, and he went up and studied with Still Adler. He took a bus up there from Philly and for a year, and then the second year he saved some money. He bought a motorcycle, and he would ride his motorcycle up to Manhattan. And she was one of the premier acting teachers. You know, Brando had studied with her, mm-hmm. and. My cousin Nick studied with her, and Nina Foch, people like that. And he would go up every Tuesday and Thursday. And then what happened, I can go on, but it leads into how he got a 7-year career with Columbia Pictures.
Okay, so first of all, Jim very slyly slipped in his cousin Nick. His cousin Nick was the great Nehemiah Persaud, the actor who all of us know from his many movie and TV roles, including some like it Hot, most notably. And Nehemiah Persaud, through the encouragement and the effort to Jim Rosen, released his memoir not too long before he died. And there are a lot of great stories. It's a classic immigration story. There are a lot of great stories of growing up on the streets in New York after his family came to New York. And great stories of studying with Stella Adler at the Actors Studio and all of that. So I just want to mention that Jim Rosen is also the publisher of The Many Lives of Nehemiah Persaud, which is available Amazon.com as well as Jim's own website, ClassicTVSeriesBooks.com. That's the one, right?
Yeah. Many Faces of Nehemiah. It's a very good book. It really is. I was so happy to do it for him because it was amazing that at age 100 he wrote that book and his mind was clear and infinite details, and all the people that he was friendly with and worked with at the Actors Studio, and then in subsequent movies and TV, and it just was a wonderful time, you know, to be an actor in New York, and his life was very interesting. It truly was.
It truly was. The Many Lives of Nehemiah Persoff, available classic TV series books.com, as is Philly Pop Rock Rhythm and Blues, a look back at the musical history of Philadelphia. James Darren was one of the many.
Well, he slipped in there, you know.
Yes. James Darren, one of the many musical artists that Jim Rosen interviewed for Philly Pop Rock Rhythm and Blues. James Darren passed away Monday, September 2nd, at the age of 88. Jim knew James Darren, sharing a few memories of his friend James Darren on our program tonight. You mentioned how young he was when he first left for California, James Darren, Jim. And it brings to mind a story that he shared with you in Philly Pop Rock Rhythm and Blues. And this speaks to his youth at the time, but it also speaks to the unique values that he got from growing up in South Philly, and which never really left him, even after he became a hugely successful star in movies and television. I understand, you tell me if I get the chronology wrong, I understand that when he first signed with Columbia, it was like May of that year, and his agent at the time said, okay, you know, I got the ticket. You'll be leaving for California on like May 16th. And Darren said, no, if I may, my birthday is in a couple of weeks, and it's very important. I always spend my birthday with my family, and it's very important that I do that. Could we postpone the trip a couple of weeks? Which I don't think you could do that today, but his agent understood, and she was able to make it work, and he flew out a few weeks later. That I love reading that because again, that says a lot about who he was and what he valued, and he never left that.
No. You hit the nail right on the head. His birthday was about 3 weeks after. In early June, and he was supposed to go leave for California on the 16th, and he just said, I can't do it. I always celebrate, as you said, with my parents, my brother, my grandparents, aunts and uncles. In fact, you know, his family, they lived in his grandmother's house initially, so it was a tight-knit family, and as you mentioned before about what life was like growing up in that area, it was commonplace, you know, to be very family-oriented and down-to-earth, you know.
That's
a great story.
It is a great story that you can find in Philly Pop Rock Rhythm and Blues, available classic TV series books.com. Jim interviewed James Darren for Philly Pop Rock Rhythm and Blues and a few other publications as well. James Darren passed away September 2nd at the age of 88. Now, we mentioned he was the original Moondoggy in the original Gidget. And this is an interesting story. We mentioned that he performed in nightclubs in South Philly from a very young age. In many respects, his recording career took off once he signed that contract with Columbia.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, did the studio know that he could sing, or did they just sign him as an actor and find out that he could sing later?
It did take off, but it came off indirectly. When they did the movie Gidget, I believe he asked them if he could record the title song, and they auditioned him, they said, well, let's do a sample recording, and once they did, they said, oh, yes, okay, and that's how he wound up singing the title soon, and that helped to begin his recording career from singing the title song in Gidget. But when you say it did happen as a result of his career, you're right, because had he not had the contract and not been in the movie, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to approach them and ask if he could record the title song.
And had he not had the intestinal fortitude to say, I can do this. You don't need to lip sync for me. I can do this myself because I've done this all my life. I mean, not everybody is willing to speak up for themselves, but he had no problem doing that.
No. He had confidence. Listen, he began as a little kid singing Besame Mucho in the living room of his house for his grandmother and all her friends. You know, she invited everybody from the neighborhood that she made pasta sauce for to hear him. And he'd stand in the archway between the kitchen and the living room and perform for all the ladies. So, and then he went out into the clubs with his father when he was older, and he went up and sing. And, you know, one night at a club, he sang. And he was walking off stage, and some guy confronted him and grabbed his hand and said, "Here, take this, kid." And he looked down, and it was a $5 bill. So that was his first paying job as a professional. So he had a background, you know, in singing, and he got enjoyment of it. And as much as he really wanted to be an actor, I don't think he forgot the confidence and the joy he got from singing. And you put those things together with all the things that occurred along the way, and it led him to saying, "Hey, I would love to record the song." And okay, well, let's hear what you got.
And again, this is one of the unique aspects of the studio system, particularly at that time, because especially a big studio like Columbia, who had its own recording label. In addition to, its movie studio and its TV offshoot Screen Gems, if you could do one thing, I don't want to use the word exploit, although that's essentially what they did. If you could do one thing, since you were under contract anyway, you know, they would, and if you could sing, they would release, 45s or albums for you. And in his case, he actually could sing. So, and as we mentioned, he had two top 10 hits back in the day, which not everybody can say.
Yeah. I think they were both number one. In fact, I think he had 10 top 10 hits, and then two of them were, if I remember exactly, and of course, two of them were number one. I know "Goodbye, Cruel World" was the number one for 4 or 5 weeks, I think. And, that's something that he would do off and on for the rest of his life, you know, sing.
He worked with a lot of major stars in his early career, and not only held his own when he appeared with them on screen, but I understand at one point, Jim, James Darren had the second highest amount of fan mail coming into him through Warner Brothers, second only to Kim Novak.
I didn't know that. That's interesting, yeah. I know I was well aware of who he worked with. You know, he worked with a lot of wonderful people, Gregory Peck and David Niven and Anthony Quinn, Alan Ladd, Sidney Poitier.
When we come back, we'll talk about James Darren and the Time Tunnel, and particularly Richard the episode Cundy, of Time Tunnel that was one of his personal favorites. We'll also talk about his work on T.J. Hooker and the story of how he came to play Vic Fontaine on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. All that and more as we continue our conversation with Jim Rosen here on TV Confidential.
Buying or selling a home can be one of the most stressful things we'll ever do in life. But it doesn't have to be. And no one knows better than our friends at Front Porch Realty. Their community of realtors serving the Northern Bay Area of California that cares about their clients as individuals first and foremost. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to lease or sell your property in the Bay Area, Front Porch Realty will help you through this important transition by providing you with the right information for your situation while lessening the pain. They also work with a network of realtors throughout California who provide the same high caliber of customer service. Call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 for a realtor referral near you. You can also visit their website, frontporchrealtygroup.com, for more information on the services they provide, including upcoming workshops and seminars. For more information, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com. Front Porch Realty. They'll find the solution that works best for you.
One more item. Are you starting a company in an emerging market or developing something new? Do you have intellectual property but aren't sure how to protect it? Reach out to our friends at Tectonic Law. They offer rock-solid representation for groundbreaking industries who need help capturing and protecting their full portfolio of intellectual property and intangible assets, including trademark rights, copyright rights, and privacy rights. Tectonic Law streamlines the complex intricacies of intellectual property and business law in easy-to-understand terms that will help you and your company form a concrete plan of action to secure and protect the value of your brand and your creative work product. Tectonic Law is licensed to practice throughout the state of California. They also practice before such tribunals as the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. Go to tectoniclaw.com to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. Tectoniclaw.com, rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries. Ed Robertson welcoming you back to TV Confidential Radio Talk Show about television. Always happy to welcome back our friend Jerry Jewell. Jerry Jewell, the actress known around the world as Cousin Jerry on The Facts of Life, and Jewell, the cleaning woman on Deadwood. Born with cerebral palsy, Jerry shattered the glass ceiling for many individuals with disabilities when Norman Lear cast her on The Facts of Life, making Jerry the first person with a disability to appear in a recurring role on a network TV series. Jerry Jewell, also an accomplished speaker and author, her latest book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems, is a collection of columns that Jerry originally wrote for Ability Magazine between 2012 and 2017 that discuss various topics about everyday life. If you've never read Jerry's columns before, you will find the content of her book to be brand new, as NBC used to say. But just as important, the topics that Jerry discusses in Jerry's Jewels and Gems are all relatable and will resonate with anyone who is trying to navigate their way through everyday life. I'll tell you more about Jerry's book in just a second. Jerry Jewell, welcome back to our program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Norman Lear wrote the foreword to your new book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems. And for most of us listening, Norman Lear is an icon, but you knew the man, you know? I mean, he was a very important part of your life.
Yes, absolutely. Norman was like a surrogate dad to me in a way. He took me under his wing so many times, and the last gift he gave me was the forward.
The forward for the book, which is Jerry's Jewels and Gems, which you can find Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, wherever books are sold online. And I can hear this in your voice. It must be proud for you to have been a part of Norman's legacy.
It's an amazing privilege to be a part of his life. And I will miss him every day. And the fact that he offered to write the foreword at 101 is amazing. That tells you what kind of a man he was. He is.
Yes, he was like the Energizer Bunny. He just kept going and going.
Yep, and I'm sure he's doing a lot on the other side.
I did not know this. Your first episode of Facts, Norman says that was the highest rated episode in that show's history.
At that date.
That is who you are, being modest about that. I could be immodest for you and just say it was the most highest rated episode ever.
Well, but it was the highest rated episode of Facts of Life at that date, that time.
And just as important, it was the highest rated episode at that date, at that time, in a three network universe where the audience was nowhere near as fractured as it is today. So, I mean, a lot of people were watching that episode, and a lot of people watched you every week that you appeared on that show.
Yes, it was important, and it gave me, I guess, national recognition. It springboarded my career in a lot of ways.
Jerry Jewell is on the line with us. Jerry's career was springboarded when she played Cousin Jerry on The Facts of Life. You also know her as Jewel, the cleaning woman on Deadwood. Jerry's latest book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems, is a collection of columns that Jerry originally wrote for Ability Magazine between 2012 and 2017, but which discuss topics and issues about the human condition that are timeless and relatable to anyone who is trying to navigate their way through everyday life. The publisher of Jerry's Jewels and Gems is Core IQ Incorporated. You can find Jerry's book, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, wherever books are sold online. You can follow Jerry Jewel, Facebook, Instagram, JerryJewel.com. There are several columns that you wrote that really spoke to me personally one way or another, one of which is in this era of social media, when a friend is going through hard times, it is it's easy, it's almost too easy just to say, I'm thinking of you, you're in my thoughts. But one of the things you talk about is the challenge all of us face is to go beyond that.
Which column specifically did I bring that out in?
It's the one you call Raising the Human Vibration.
Oh, okay.
And you write, I notice on social media a lot of people are sick of hearing you are in our thoughts and prayers. And it's not that people don't believe in God or don't believe in prayers. It's just, it's almost too easy just to say that, when we could do a lot more.
Yes. What I was referring to is that I wasn't putting down thoughts.
No.
But to go one step further, go beyond that. Because thoughts and prayers don't really hold, how shall I say this? Thoughts and prayers is only one half of it. Like I was always told when I was a kid that God helps those who help himself. So I would try that. Like God and prayers and thoughts all work. But we have to be a part of it. We have to be in the moment and do something. Now I sound like Michelle Obama.
Well, I have to admit, when I read that, I sort of nodded, you know, knowingly, because I'm guilty of that too. There's a lot more I can do to let someone know that I'm thinking of them beyond just you're in my thoughts and prayers. And it could be just as simple as picking up the phone and giving them a call, or more importantly, checking in on them. You know.
Exactly. And these days, you know, our world is so fractured right now. And there's so much isolation. And a lot of people don't even know how to reach out right now. They become isolated. And so if you have the ability, if we have the ability to reach out, we should. Even like, I don't even reach out as much as I should.
Jerry Jewel's on the line with us. Jerry's new book is called Jerry's Jewels and Gems. It's a collection of topics and issues about the human condition that are timeless and relatable to anyone who is trying to navigate their way through everyday life. Jerry writes about such topics as how to recover from a really bad year, how helping others even when we're down ourselves can lessen our own sense of hopelessness, and how a mundane task, this is one of my favorite ones, Jerry, how a mundane task like grocery shopping can help can be a positive way of keeping alive the memory of a deceased loved one. Those are just some of the things that those are just some of the everyday things that Jerry writes about in her new book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems, which you can find Amazon.com, wherever books are sold online. You can follow Jerry, jerryjewel.com. You laugh when I mention the grocery store story. You're specifically talking about how when you go shopping, you think of your dad, because your dad had a very strict formula when it came to shopping.
Yeah, my dad had a system and he never broke from it. We had to go down every single aisle,
mm-hmm.
one, two, however large. Thank God we didn't have Costco back then. We'd never be out.
That was your dad. Now this is the thing that made me stop and think. You talk about how your dad, he had his list, and then as you said, he would go down every aisle in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, versus going back and forth the way most of us do shopping. But the amazing thing is, when you do shopping, you don't have a list. You have it in your head. I don't know how you do that, but if I'm going to Trader Joe's to pick up a watermelon and maybe some nectarines, I'll remember that. But if I'm doing more than that, I need to write something down. So whatever your system, man, God bless you, because it works.
Yeah, I've never had a grocery list in my life, and I never will. Now I sound like a 7-Up commercial. I never will.
One of the other things about your book, Jerry, is that the topics you write about are very, very relatable. All of us know what it's like to, especially as we get older. I just turned 60 this year, and not to get maudlin, but the older you get, the more losing loved ones or losing friends becomes part of your everyday life. And some deaths affect us more than others.
Than others, yes.
And one of the things you write about, which again, it spoke to me, and it will speak to anybody else who reads your book, is when you lose, whether it's your sister, whether it's your best friend, try to focus, be aware of what you're focusing on. Try to focus on the good memories versus the loss itself.
Yes, and we all have to do that at some point. You know, we can't continue to, that's the only way we can work through our grief, is to remember the wonderful times,
yeah.
too. And my sister had an incredible sense of humor. And so I shared in this book a memory of her making a phone call to me while I was shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And in a big department store, it's terrible. I don't want to take away from the
place. No. It's a very funny story. You got to read it yourself in Jerry's Jewels and Gems, which is available Amazon.com, where books are sold online. But the bigger point is to try not to, and again, in the immediacy of the grief, we all do this, you know, why did this happen? Why did she have to leave me? But the challenge all of us face is to try to remember the things about that person that uplifted your life and how you uplifted their life, and that gives you the strength to move on.
Yes, well, you know, you carry their energy and their memory in your heart when you remember the good things and share it with other people. You keep their memory alive in a wonderful way.
Yeah.
I think we all need to do that.
Yeah, speaking personally, I had a sister when I went through my divorce. One of my sisters made it a point to call me every day, just to check up on me. And I resisted at first. I said, I don't do that. And she said, I don't care if you do that or not. You're doing it now. I'm going to call you. And that became like a daily series of phone calls that lasted 11 years until she died of cancer.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I missed that part, and it was natural to think, okay, well, who am I going to replace that, you know? But you can't, I mean, you can't replace it that way, but there are other ways.
You can't replace that in itself, but you can continue giving it life by giving the same checking up on a friend of yours. You're passing on that behavior to yourself and giving it as a gift to someone else.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that way, that illustrates your point. You pay it forward, you affirm what my sister did for me, by doing it with others. And, you know, and what I've learned to do is I've become a little better at keeping in touch with other members of my family as a result of all this. So that's one of the very, everyday, very human condition types of topics that Jerry talks about in her new book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems, which is available Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, wherever books are sold online. You can follow Jerry, Facebook, Instagram, and JerryJewel.com. One of the other topics is you talk about false pride, and false pride is more debilitating than any physical disability people may deal with in their lives. What do you mean by that?
Well, self pride is having pride in oneself when there's nothing to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
It's egotistical. It's, you know, that's what false pride is ego. It has nothing to do with confidence. There's a difference between having self-confidence and having false pride. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and it speaks to your point that any shortcoming is only a shortcoming if you think of it that way.
Yeah, okay, that's absolutely okay.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's like, yes, you were born with a physical challenge that not everybody has to live with as part of their everyday life, but you don't see it that way, and because you don't see it that way, it is not as limiting as it could be to someone who... And you can learn a lot about life when you read Jerry's new book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems, a collection of topics and issues about the human condition that are timeless and relatable to anyone who is trying to navigate their way through everyday life. Jerry's Jewels and Gems, available Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, where books are sold online. Jerry's going to stay with us for another segment. We hope you'll stay with us as we continue our conversation here on TV Confidential.
Buying or selling a home can be one of the most stressful things we'll ever do in life, but it doesn't have to be. And no one knows better than our friends at Front Porch Realty. Their community of realtors serving the Northern Bay Area of California that cares about their clients as individuals first and foremost. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to lease or sell your property in the Bay Area, Front Porch Realty will help you through this important transition by providing you with the right information for your situation while lessening the pain. They also work with a network of realtors throughout California who provide the same high caliber of customer service. Call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 for a realtor referral near you. You can also visit their website, frontporchrealtygroup.com, for more information on the services they provide, including upcoming workshops and seminars. For more information, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com. Front Porch Realty. They'll find the solution that works best for you.
One more item. Are you starting a company in an emerging market or developing something new? Do you have intellectual property but aren't sure how to protect it? Reach out to our friends at Tectonic Law. They offer rock-solid representation for groundbreaking industries who need help capturing and protecting their full portfolio of intellectual property and intangible assets, including trademark rights, copyright rights, and privacy rights. Tectonic Law streamlines the complex intricacies of intellectual property and business law in easy-to-understand terms that will help you and your company form a concrete plan of action to secure and protect the value of your brand and your creative work product. Tectonic Law is licensed to practice throughout the state of California. They also practice before such tribunals as the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. Go to tectoniclaw.com to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. Tectoniclaw.com, rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries. Jerry's Jewels and Gems, a collection of topics and issues about the human condition that are timeless and relatable to anyone who is trying to navigate their way through everyday life. Jerry's Jewels and Gems, available Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, where books are sold online. Now, you're very open about this. You also have a significant hearing loss.
Yes.
Although you've told this story many times, you've told this in your first book, I'm Walking As Straight As I Can. When you first started your stand-up career, in a way, your hearing loss was an advantage because in the case of people who were heckling you, you didn't hear them.
I never knew I had any heckling. It was viewed as self-confidence. Wow, she is. Talked straight over the hecklers. She doesn't even care. I never knew I had any. In a way, it's an advantage, but in a way, it's a disadvantage because I couldn't come up with something witty to say back to the heckler because I never heard the heckler in the first place.
Yes, but I would imagine in the ensuing years, whenever you perform, and someone tries to be funny, you being the skilled comic that you are, you being the skilled improviser that you are, I would imagine you put people in their place as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You adapt.
What led you to become a stand-up comedian originally?
Well, I've always had a sympathy loop, but I think I was in my third year of college, and I was very frustrated because I was trying to get a degree in psychology at that point, and it wasn't going the way I wanted it to. And one of my friends, who was also a student at Fullerton College, his name was Alex Valdez, and I was discussing with him how frustrated I was with school, and he said, well, what do you really want to do? And I said, well, I want to be a comedian, like Carol Burnett. I want to be an actress. I want to be a writer. She said, well, why don't you do what I do? What do you do? Well, I go to the comedy store every week and tell blind jokes. And I was like, Alex, I don't know if you realize this, but I can see you just fine. He said, no, dinky face, you go to the comedy store and tell terrible policy jokes. So, in a way, I give Alex credit and I blame him for my
But I'm just thinking about this right now. You first came on to the comedy scene, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, when there was a real renaissance of stand-up comedy here in Los Angeles in particular. And it's a tough business to crack, but if you have something that makes you different than anybody else, that's an advantage, and you had that, and you were able to craft that and leave your mark, and eventually put yourself in a position where a Norman Lear would discover you, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, I was very blessed. To be a part of the comedy scene at that time was incredible. I mean, I used to hang out at the comedy store, and I saw Robin Williams perform many times. He would come unannounced and perform in the main room, and I would sneak in the back and watch him. And so you couldn't have gotten a better schooling in comedy at that time. It was just amazing. Jerry Seinfeld, Roseanne Barr, who else? Lotus Weinstock. I can't think of all of them. There's so many of us. But you're not going to get that kind of comedy today. The comedy scene has changed radically.
Yeah.
But I opened the doors for a lot of comedians with disabilities also. So there's a lot of comedians out there with disabilities today, which is wonderful.
Absolutely. So that makes you a pioneer now.
Yeah. How did that feel?
Jerry's Jewels and Gems, available Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, where books are sold online. We only have a few minutes left today, but speaking of pioneers, you mentioned her a little while ago. Carol Burnett was one of your influences. She was one of the people you wanted to be when you decided to embark as a stand-up comedian. What was it like to meet your idol?
Well, I started writing her when I was about 13 and told her that when I grew up, I wanted to be just like her. I wanted to be a comedian, actress, writer. And she always wrote me back whenever she could. And the essence of every letter that I ever received from her was always the same. She said, go for it. Get into acting in every capacity. She told me there was no guarantee that I would become professional. There's no guarantees in life, period. Mm-hmm. The important thing is to put out the effort and to try. And that's very, very powerful coming from Carol Burnett.
Well, it's very powerful coming from Carol Burnett. If you read any of the columns that Jerry shared in her new coffee table book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems, what Jerry has to say is just as powerful and will speak to anyone who's trying to navigate their way through everyday life. Before I forget, it is a coffee table book. There are a lot of wonderful photos that Jerry uses to illustrate all of her columns, some of which feature some of the many people who have graced her life, such as Norman Lear, such as Lisa Welchel. And if I remember correctly, I think there's a Carol Burnett photo in there. I'm going off memory.
Yes, there is.
There, okay. There is. All right. So you can find Jerry's Jewels and Gems, Amazon.com, where books are sold online. Is there one particular question about the book that you want people to know about that I haven't asked you yet?
Well, the idea to take those columns that I wrote for Ability Magazine and put it into a book came in 2020 when we had the California lockdown, we had COVID, I'm like everybody else. I was depressed, I was scared, I was frustrated. And what could I still do to make a difference in this crazy world we're living in? And I thought about those articles, so I pulled them out, and I was, like, blown away because they apply today just as much as they did when I wrote them.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have to understand about my writing is that I write on a very high level. Sometimes I'll write, and I won't even know what I wrote until I read it the next day. And so, in a way, my own article inspired myself to keep going, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot. Look, writer to writer, it makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
It makes a lot of sense. And again, it speaks to the wisdom that came to you when you originally wrote these things, you know, however many years ago, and which in the wisdom that is timeless, that comes through to anyone who either may have, regardless of whether they read them before or are reading them for the first time.
Yes, absolutely. It's a book that you can pick up again and again and get something new from it.
Yeah, it is inspirational in every sense of the word, just as Jerry Jewell is inspirational in every sense of the world of the word. Jerry's new book, Jerry's Jewels and Gems, available now. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, wherever books are sold online. You can follow Jerry Jewel, Facebook, Instagram, JerryJewel.com. Jerry, it is always a pleasure to chat with you. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jerry Jewell is also one of the many people featured in Studio One Forever. Studio One Forever, the new award-winning documentary by Mark Saltarelli that is now available on DVD and on Blu-ray through StudioOneForever.com, Amazon.com, wherever DVDs and Blu-rays are sold. Studio One Forever tells the backstory of Studio One, the center of nightlife in West Hollywood that not only served as a haven for gay men from its opening in 1974 through its closing in 1994, but also merged the gay community with such Hollywood elites as Betty Davis, Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, Gregory Peck, Steve Martin, and Paul Newman, all of whom patronized the Studio One Disco and or its accompanying nightclub, The Backlot, at the height of its popularity. Studio One Forever also shows viewers that Studio One was more than just a disco. It was also a movement at the forefront of LGBTQ plus rights and the fight against the AIDS crisis. The documentary features interviews and candid recollections from many former performers, many former patrons, and many former... The next edition of TV Confidential will premiere next week on this station at the usual time. Please join us as we welcome Lindsay Bloom, star of the new Mike Hammer. Plus, we'll welcome back our friend, movie and TV historian, Tom LaSante. In the meantime, Ed Robertson, Dr. Tony Figueroa, Donna Allen, Phil Grice, Greg Airbar, and Susan Silver, thank you so much for listening. Stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you next time on TV Confidential.
Buying or selling a home can be one of the most stressful things we'll ever do in life, but it doesn't have to be. And no one knows better than our friends at Front Porch Realty. Their community of realtors serving the Northern Bay Area of California that cares about their clients as individuals first and foremost. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to lease or sell your property in the Bay Area, Front Porch Realty will help you through this important transition by providing you with the right information for your situation while lessening the pain. They also work with a network of realtors throughout California who provide the same high caliber of customer service. Call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 for a realtor referral near you. You can also visit their website, frontporchrealtygroup.com, for more information on the services they provide, including upcoming workshops and seminars. For more information, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com. Front Porch Realty. They'll find the solution that works best for you.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-932-2613. 800-932-2613. That's 800-932-2613.
One more item. Are you starting a company in an emerging market or developing something new? Do you have intellectual property but aren't sure how to protect it? Reach out to our friends at Tectonic Law. They offer rock-solid representation for groundbreaking industries who need help capturing and protecting their full portfolio of intellectual property and intangible assets, including trademark rights, copyright rights, and privacy rights. Tectonic Law streamlines the complex intricacies of intellectual property and business law in easy-to-understand terms that will help you and your company form a concrete plan of action to secure and protect the value of your brand and your creative work product. Tectonic Law is licensed to practice throughout the state of California. They also practice before such tribunals as the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. Go to Tectonic Law.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.